الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're reading الشرط السادس, the sixth condition from the conditions for the correctness of the salah. And the author, he mentioned, رحمه الله, ستر العورة, to cover the awrah. And we have seen in the previous class that the awrah of the male, of the man, it is ما بين السرة والركبة. عورة الرجل البالغ ما بين سرته وركبته. The awrah of the adult male is that which is between his navel and his knees. That which is between his navel and his knees. And we have seen the evidence the author he mentioned for that, rahimahullah, is the statement of Allah the Most High. Ya bani Adam, khudhu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjid. O children of Adam, take your adornment at every masjid. Yani at every place of prayer. At every place of prayer. So the minimum requirement to be considered taking the adornment in the prayer would be to cover the awrah. At bare minimum. But likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that الزينة أو أخذ الزينة قدر زائد عن ستر العورة. That to, in reality, to take one's adornment at every place of prayer, this is an amount greater than covering the awrah. The minimum requirement would be to cover the awrah. But in reality, to truly fulfill this commandment, one, he must cover his awrah and more. He must cover his awrah and more. And from here we have seen the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the awrah is two types. Awratu nadhar wal awratu fi salah. The awrah which is impermissible to expose and for others to look at, and the awrah that must be covered in the prayer. So these affairs, they are different. And we have seen some differences in this issue. And for example, we have seen that the woman, she is an awra. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, al-mar'atu awra. So therefore, her whole body is an awra. Her whole body is an awra. Yani from the nadhar in general for the ajanib. But in the prayer, the awrah of the woman is everything except for her face and her hands. And if she were to cover her hands, it's better for her, although it's not an obligation and Allah knows best. And whenever it's mentioned that she should cover her hands, or it's better to cover her hands, that does not necessarily mean she has to wear gloves. She can cover her hands by hiding them inside of her jilbab. And we have seen likewise that the majority of the scholars, they have mentioned that the feet as well in the salat, and outside of the salat, but in the salat specifically is from the awrah, and they have to be covered. So that does not necessarily mean that she has to wear socks, but she has to cover them, even if it's covered by the jilbab. So the jilbab could fall over that. So whenever we say that it must be covered, her feet must be covered, what is intended from that is to be covered in any means. Whether it's with socks or whether it's by her garment falling over that and concealing and covering that properly, all of this would be considered. But the awrah of the woman, the awrah of the nadhr with regards to her maharim, like her father or her brother, for example, is different. It's allowed for her father or her brother to see her hair, for example, and to see maybe her arms, her forearms. This is from the normal things that the woman would expose to her maharim. From the normal things that a woman would expose to her maharim. You need those male relatives that she has, that it's not allowed for her to ever marry them. Like her father and her brother, for example. It's allowed for her to uncover her face and to uncover her hair and to uncover her forearms, so on and so forth, her feet. And the likes like this, this is normally going to be uncovered in her house, and this is allowed for them to see that. But as for in the salat will not be correct if she did not cover her hair, or did not cover her feet, or did not cover her arms. So there's a difference between the two. And this has preceded. there's a difference between the two, awratu nadhar wa al-awratu fi salah. So they have differences, and the rulings likewise are different. And that which we forgot to mention in the previous class in detail was the awra, awratu rajuli fi salah. We spoke about the awra of the rajul. We spoke about the awra of the male, and that was again from the navel to the knees, not including the navel and not including the knees, any that which is between that. But in order to cover that properly, no doubt part of that would have to be covered. I need to make sure everything between the navel and the knees is covered and not exposed. It's covered and not exposed. So this is the general awra, awra to nadhar. But as for the salat for the male, as for the salat, the awra for salat, or the awra and the salat for the male, then some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that there is an additional part of the body that must be covered likewise, and that is at least one of the shoulders, if not both of them. That is at least one of the shoulders, if not both of them. And this is based upon a narration that is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يصلي أحدكم في الثوب الواحد ليس على عاتقيه منه شيء ليس على عاتقيه منه شيء. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that one of you should not pray in one garment, not having any part of that garment over his shoulders whatsoever. That one of you should not pray in one garment, not having that garment covering both of his shoulders. Covering both of his shoulders, meaning not to pray in one garment, unless that one garment will cover both of the shoulders. So the point is to not pray except that both of the shoulders are covered. So this narration here has been narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And it has been narrated bil-ifradi wa tathniyah. It's been narrated here, this word atiq, in the singular form and in the dual form. And some wordings, laysa ala atiqihi minhu shay. One of you should not pray in one garment without having a part of that on his shoulder. And another wording, laysa ala atiqihi minhu shay. And one of you should not pray in one garment, not having a part of that on both of his shoulders. On both of his shoulders. And in Sahih Muslim, it has been mentioned that the different prints that have reached us, or the different copies or narrations of Sahih Muslim, the majority of them, they have it tithniyah. The majority of them, it's mentioned with the dual form, لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقَيْهِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. Although there are some that have come mentioning in the singular form. And there are other wordings or narrations of this outside of Sahih Muslim, and it's mentioned likewise singular. But also this narration has been collected by Abu Dawood. And in this wording he says, لَيْسَ عَلَى مَنْكِبَيْهِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. لَيْسَ عَلَى مَنْكِبَيْهِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ. And the مَنْكِبَيْهِ هُمَا الْأَتِقَانِ. It's the same thing. لَيْسَ not on his shoulders. He should not pray in one thawb. Not having anything on both of his shoulders. Not having anything on both of his shoulders. So from here we see that this is a requirement to cover both of the shoulders. The Hanabila, they mention at least one of the shoulders. At least one of the shoulders. And this is in the obligatory prayer. And this is from the Mufradat of the Hanabila, that they find that from the conditions of the Salat is Satrul Awra, covering the Awra. And for the male, he must cover along with the well-known Awra, also one of his shoulders at least. And preferable both of his shoulders. So they'll mention that if a person, for example, he prayed and he had an izar on, covering his bottom, covering from his navel down to his knees. All of this is covered, and he did not have anything on his shoulders while he is able, any garments are available for him. He has garments and it's possible for him to cover one of his shoulders at least, and he does not do that, then his prayer will be invalidated because he did not fulfill the condition of covering the awra. The majority of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that rather this is recommended to at least cover one of the shoulders. And they mentioned that because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seen Jabir radiallahu anhu praying in one garment at one time. And he asked him about that. And this narration had proceeded. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, إِن كَانَ وَاسِعًا فَالْتَحِفْ بِهِ وَإِن كَانَ ضَيِّقًا فَاتَّزِرْ بِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, if you're praying in one garment, if you're going to pray in one garment, because he was praying in one garment in a manner that if he moved too much, his awrah would become exposed, radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directed him with regards to this. And this was the reason for this narration. So he told him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you only have one garment and it's very wide and big, then you wrap it around your waist and throw it over your shoulders likewise. You need to cover the awrah and then likewise to cover the shoulders. And then likewise to cover the shoulders. But if it's not wide, if it's not large, then wrap it around your waist and use it as an izar. So here the majority of the scholars, they say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam allowed him to wear one garment and use it as an izar. And there are other narrations similar like this, that some of the companions or has been mentioned that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, maybe he prayed in one garment in this manner as an izar. But the response to that, so this is the evidence that it's not an obligation. But the response to that is that these narrations are here understood in the light of necessity. And that is what is clear in the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, if you have one garment and it's big enough, then you wrap it around your waist and your shoulders. But if it's not big enough, then at least you have to cover your privates. You have to cover the awrah. So since it's not big enough to do all of that, then you're going to tie it around your waist and make it an izar to make sure that the awrah and mughallava is not uncovered and revealed. So this takes precedence. So this will be considered in a time of necessity or dorura. So that his privates would not be uncovered, so that the awrah would not be uncovered. As for in the case whenever a person, he has the ability and he's not in a necessity, then he must cover at least one of the shoulders. And Allah knows best. Because of these narrations here, it's much better to cover both shoulders. And then likewise, because of the ayat that Allah, he mentioned, قُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, take your adornment in every prayer. And from that is that a person, he will cover his shoulders. He will wear something on the top of his body and the bottom of his body. And he will wear the best of his garments that is available for him. So this is what is preferred. This is what is preferred. A person, he should not do that. The Hanabila, they mentioned likewise, even if he had, it would also, they mentioned likewise, it would not suffice if he had a garment like ropes or something. He had a garment on his shoulder like thin lines, like ropes wrapped around his shoulder. For example, like some of the t-shirts or the undershirts that some of the people they may have today that have just a thin strap that goes over the shoulder. This is not covering the shoulder. The shoulder has to be covered. So the one who prayed like that, Allah knows best, he should pray again. Because the hadith is very clear. لا يصلي أحدكم في الثوب الواحد ليس على عاتقيه منه شيء. And this is the majority of the narrations, the majority of the prints of Sahih Muslim came with this in the dual. And it's supported also by the wording in Abu Dawood. ليس على منكبيه منه شيء. And in any case, at least having one of them covered. And this is the position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala based upon these narrations. So this is something a person he would avoid. A man who will cover his shoulders, both of them, whenever he's praying, covering them with something proper, to where both of them are covered entirely. This comes in likewise whenever a person is making umrah, or a person he's making hajj, yani whenever he's making tawaf, al-qudum or tawaf al-umrah, then he will be making al-tiba', and this is whenever a person, he will take the rida, which is the top garment, and he will put it underneath his right arm and throw it over the top of his left arm, and exposing his right shoulder. So if a person, he's making tawaf in this manner, and the prayer comes and it's time for the prayer, then he will cover his shoulder to pray. And then if he's in the middle of the tawaf, he still has laps to make, then whenever the prayer is over, he will go back to making that ittiba' and reveal his shoulder again and finish the laps. Likewise, whenever he finishes the tawaf and he's ready to pray, the two rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim, also he will not leave his shoulder uncovered. And remember from the classes of Hajj that it's only legislated, and from the Sunnah, to have that shoulder uncovered in that particular tawaf only. From the beginning to the end, whenever it's finished, you do not uncover that. But especially if he's going to go pray. And in order to avoid this issue here, and in order to apply this narration. So he will cover his shoulders, both of them, if not at least one of them, to avoid this difference of opinion, and likewise to be upon clarity, and then as well to apply to apply this narration. So now we have a question. What if somebody, he was unaware of this ruling, and every day he's praying in one of those type of t-shirts that is thin, exposing his shoulders and his arms and the likes like this, not covering his shoulder. He was unaware of this ruling, and he was praying like this every day, at work, for example, or at home, maybe. What will we say about his prayers? If he did that at the prayer right now, for example, at Maghrib time, and then he learned the ruling after Maghrib, then we will order him to repeat Maghrib only. What about Asr? Probably he did it at Asr too. What if he's like, you know, at Asr I did the same thing, or yesterday I did the same thing. Yesterday at Maghrib time I prayed in the same way. Actually, my whole life I've been praying like this. What are we do? We're going to tell him to count the days and count the salah and replay and remake all of them and validate all of his previous prayers? Huh? The brother, he said, we will just require him to only make up the one at hand, the one that's in time. He missed, he prayed like that at Maghrib time, which is right now, just a moment ago. And then he realized the ruling now, and the Maghrib time is still in. So now we'll order him to repeat that prayer only, and not the previous prayers that have passed. We understand that? Because no doubt to repeat the previous prayers, all of them, that's a great difficulty and hardship. As for the prayer at hand, then the time is still in. So it's possible for him to rectify that. So therefore, he will fix that one. He will redo that one, and not all of those that have preceded. So he'll be forgiven and excused for those prayers that have preceded because of ignorance. But as for the one at hand, he's not excused, because he has time to rectify that and to fix that and to fulfill the obligation properly. Everybody understand this? This is clear. There's a proof for that. There's a proof for this. No doubt. Hadith al-Musi' salatahu. The hadith of the one who prayed bad. The man who came and he prayed three different times. And each time, the Prophet ﷺ told him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray again. Indeed, you didn't pray. He prayed and then he came to give salam and talk. And the Prophet ﷺ told him to go back and pray again. You didn't even pray. And yet the prayer you just prayed is not valid. Go pray again. It's as if you didn't pray. He came back, he did the same thing. He prayed in the same way. He told him the same thing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three times. So the prayer at hand was not excused. Whenever finally the man, he realized that he's doing it wrong and he's not able to improve, he told the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can't do better than that. This is all I know how to do. So teach me the right way. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him the well-known hadith. And one of the main points there was the tumanina. And he was going to each position in the prayer properly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not excuse him in that prayer. Not even three times. He didn't excuse him back to back at that time. But the man, he said, I cannot pray better than this. So meaning that ever since he's been praying in the same manner. The previous prayers that he prayed from whenever he started praying is in the same manner. So the Prophet ﷺ did not order him to go make up the rest of those prayers. He didn't order him to make up the rest of those prayers that had preceded, only the one that was at hand. So this is a great principle with regard to the likes of these affairs, especially with regard to the one who did not fulfill some of the requirements of the prayer while he did not know. And he was ignorant about that. So the ones that he prayed wrong previously, then he will be excused for that. But as for the one at hand, he will not be excused for that. The one that's in time, he will not be excused for that. So if a woman, she was praying with her head uncovered, for example, in her house, with her hair uncovered, for example, in her house, she thought she's in her house, it's okay. She thought that maybe. And then a new Muslimah, for example. And then she finds out about this condition, about this reality. And she finds out at Dhuhr time, after she already prayed Dhuhr. She finds out just before Asr by an hour, after praying Dhuhr hours ago. Then she should repeat the Dhuhr prayer. and seek forgiveness for that which has preceded, and she's good, alhamdulillah, and not fall into that same error, nor into that same mistake. We have seen likewise as well the one who uncovered the private, the one whom his privates, his awrah became uncovered. If a person is praying and he uncovered his awrah on purpose, what's the position, what's the condition of his prayer? It's a wrap. The brother said it's a wrap. That's right. It's finished. It's no good. So somebody, if a man was praying, for example, a male of the age of puberty, he's praying and then he has shorts on. He has shorts on that are kind of short, but they cover his knees. But they cover his knees. And then whenever he's in the jalsa, whenever he's sitting at the shahud, something starts to disturb. Itch comes on his knee. He pulls up his pants a little bit to scratch underneath his pants. He pulls up his pants a little bit to scratch underneath his pants on his thigh. What's the ruling for his prayer? No, the one who is of the age of puberty. The male who's of the age of puberty, intentionally he raised up his pants enough to scratch his thigh while he's sitting down.
I'm not to do it.
It's not the dura. He's just. No, his prayer is invalid. He cannot do that. He cannot. This is the point. You cannot intentionally uncover the awra. The thigh is from the awra in the salat, and outside of the salat. We have heard the hadith al jarhad. Ama alimta an al thaqid awra? Did you not know that your thigh is from your awra? And should you not be shy? You're supposed to cover that. No doubt the awra of the nadr, there's two types. Al awra yani tukun khafifa, wal awra tukun ghaliyadha. But that doesn't mean that you take it lightly. So just because something is considered light doesn't mean that it's light. And it's considered light in comparison to something else. For example, minor shirk. Minor shirk is not minor at all. Compared to major shirk, it's minor, but it's not minor at all. Even likewise, minor sins. Minor sins are not minor. It's called minor sin in comparison to major sins. But they're not minor. Rather, they can pile up on a person and wipe him out. And they can turn into major sins by not having any respect for the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So just because sometimes something may be considered light, or it's called light, or it's called minor, or the likes like this is in comparison to something else. This is similar like what the Salaf, they used to say, more preferable for one of their children to commit zina than to fall into innovation, or to hang out with the fasiq than to sit in the gatherings of the people of innovation. This is not an encouragement to commit zina. This is not an encouragement to go head first into sins. This is in comparison, sins compared, the severity of sins compared to the severity of innovation. That's what is intended there. Some people, they misunderstood this, and whenever you reprimand them, they say, oh, I'm not with the innovators, but he's doing this crime and that crime, and he's violating the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla in great sins. And then he'll use the likes of these narrations as a proof for him, and to free himself from blame. This is not being free from blame. The Salaf did not intend to glorify sins. Or they were not pleased that their children will be in sins. Rather, they would warn them from that and reprimand them from that. Even some of the Salaf, they would reprimand their child if he made a mistake in the Arabic language. So never mind the major sins. Of course they're going to reprimand them. The point here is to compare these two issues. Both of them are great, but one of them is greater than the other. So, what led us to this is that the awra al-mukhaffafa wa awra al-mughallada. There's an awra that's mughallada. There's an awra that's the stern, the severe awra that's the front and the back. That's the actual private parts of the person, and from the front and the back. But likewise, other than that, is an awra as well, the thigh. Although it's not as severe, if somebody, his thigh became exposed, it's not as severe if his testicles became exposed, for example. That's way more severe, and that's way more disgusting and filthy, and that a person, that would be exposed for him. So, but both of them are from the awra, and they both should be covered, and a person who should be shy that any of that would be seen. So, the reason for emphasizing this today, because showing the thigh for some of the boys or some of the youth is the way to go now. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we find that some of the youth, yani especially the disbelievers, they're the ones, they're following the disbelievers, they're wearing shorts that are up, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. That you would never imagine a man wearing the likes of these shorts, exposing the majority of his thigh. And then likewise, you find some of the believing youth doing the same thing. Doing the same thing. So they should be reprimanded. You didn't know the fakhiz of the awra. Any غطي awratك. غطي فخذك. Cover your awra. Barakallah fiq. Even in the home, you should not walk around with the thigh showing. The male. The men should not walk around. They have you wear pants or shorts or an izar covering this. You should not expose yourself in this manner. Should not expose yourself in this manner. Having shyness is from the best of the religion. والحياه شعبه من الإيمان. And الحياه is a branch of faith, rather a great branch of faith, and from the strongest of faith. And whenever hayah is there, the iman is strong. And if the hayah goes, along with that goes the faith. Along with that goes the iman. The iman is going to decrease along with that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to cover that. In the prayer, if a person, he exposed his awrah on purpose, if he exposed his thigh on purpose, this would invalidate his salah. If he exposed his backside, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, on purpose, or he exposed any below his navel on purpose, or even here in this opinion, if he exposed, he only had one of his shoulders covered, and he exposed that on purpose, this would invalidate the prayer. This would invalidate the prayer. The woman, if she's praying and she exposes her hair on purpose, or she exposes her arm on purpose, and the likes like this, or more than that, this will invalidate the prayer. So the point is, يعني من كشف عن عورته متعمدا بطلت صلاته. This is the qaida. Whoever exposes his own awrah on purpose in the prayer, this invalidates the prayer. Okay, so what if it happens on accident? He didn't mean to. He didn't do it on purpose. So if he does it on purpose, we see the ruling. Even whether the people of knowledge, they say, يعني كثيرا كان أو قليلا. Regardless if it's a small amount or a large amount. If he exposed on purpose, it doesn't matter. If it's a large portion of the awrah or a small portion of the awrah, he exposed it on purpose during the prayer, this invalidates the prayer. But what if he did it on accident? And he didn't do it himself. Rather, it came uncovered on accident. It came uncovered on accident. If it's just a small amount, and for a brief period of time, then it will not harm his prayer. Even if it's a large amount, but it's just for a brief period of time, it will not harm his prayer. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned, for example, even if a person he just has a qamis on, a thob on, with no undergarments, but he's covered, and then he is going to make ruku' and the likes like this, and the wind comes and blows his garment on top of his head. The strong wind comes and blows his garment on top of his head. He's completely exposed from the front and the back. But it's not his fault. He didn't do it on purpose, and it's something he was not expecting. Suddenly the wind came and just lifted it all up on top of his head. If he puts it back down real fast, that's a large portion of the awrah, huh? Or the whole awrah is exposed. But if he puts it back down fast, quickly, in a brief period of time, then his prayer is safe. And there's not, and his prayer is fine, and his prayer is valid. His prayer is fine, and his prayer is valid. The people of knowledge, they say, Allah, he mentions, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. That Allah, he does not place a burden upon a soul that it cannot bear. That every soul will have what it earns, and it will get in return that which it has, that which it has earned. And every soul will get that which it has earned. So this person, he didn't earn that, and he didn't work for that. He didn't work for this. It's not from the fruits of his own hands. It's something that happened, and then whenever it happened, he took care of it right away. So therefore, he's excused. So if it comes, if the awrah is exposed, even if it's a small amount or a large amount, whether it's a small amount or a large amount, but then he covers it back quickly and it was not his fault or intention, then the prayer is good. And and Allah knows best. As for if a large portion of the awrah were to come uncovered, and what is considered fahish. And when they say a large portion, when we say a large portion, what I'm referring to, yani al-kashfu aw al-inkishafu al-fahish, yani which means a lot, but it's the one that's considered filthy, like it's considered no good. Like when you see it, he will see something that disgusts him or he dislikes greatly. For example, whenever a man and his awrah comes uncovered from the back, and you can see the split in his bottom, waliyadu billah, this is called inkishafun fahish. This is whenever, you know, if the bottom of his back becomes uncovered, this is considered a bit light. But whenever his garment goes down until you can see the split in his bottom, waliyadu billah, this is considered fahish. So therefore, if this is exposed in the prayer for a long time, what's considered a long time, meaning it comes uncovered, and he does not cover it up right away, this would invalidate his prayer. And many times this will happen, and he will not know that it's happening. If he knew that it would happen, if he knew that part, for example, if he knew this was uncovered, then he would normally hurry up and cover it. But he doesn't know it's uncovered. So many times the one who's in this situation, he's negligent himself. It's his own fault. He's wearing the type of garments that are not protecting his awrah in the proper manner. So therefore, his prayer will be invalidated, and Allah knows best. Had that happened and he hurried up and covered it, for example, he felt his shirt raise up and then he pulled it down real fast, then he's good. But if he feels his shirt raise up and he's just all good, or he doesn't feel his shirt raise up, he's just so accustomed to it, and he has, he doesn't have any recollect. He does not pay attention to this whatsoever. No concern for this issue, and it's just showing. Then his prayer will be invalidated. Likewise, the one who's praying and his thighs are showing the whole time. The whole time he's sitting in the julsa, his thighs are showing. Just showing, and he doesn't cover them. He doesn't move to pull them down or anything like that. Then his prayer is invalidated. His prayer is invalidated because now this is showing. Even if it's a light amount, it's not considered that same level of severity, but it's a long time. He's sitting there, and the whole time in the tashahud, his thighs are uncovered, or a part of his thigh is uncovered, and he doesn't cover it back quickly. Then the prayer will be invalid, because from the conditions of the prayer is to cover the awrah. And in reality, the issue of the awrah is very important. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned from the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that it was not until they disobeyed Allah. It was not until Adam alayhi salam, he disobeyed Allah, and Allah became angry. And Allah became angry with him that his awrah was exposed. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is a sign that Allah is angry with a person. That person will begin to expose their own awrah. That their awrah will become covered, and they will have no shame in this manner. Waliyadu billah. After this, the author, he mentions now الشرط السابع دخول الوقت, the seventh condition, and that is the entrance of the time. But we do not have time to enter into the condition of the time. And today we save it for tomorrow, inshallah. And if there's any comments or questions or corrections or something I forgot, the one who wears garments that have images on them. What's the ruling of the prayer with the one who has garments that have images on them? Allah knows best. The prayer is correct, but he's sinning. He should not wear garments with faces on them, images of living beings and the likes like this, especially not the faces of rap stars. And the worst of the disbelievers, which they, it's common here. We say this thing because this is common here. They'll have the they'll have a shirt with Tupac on the Tupac's face on the thing. من أخبث الخبثاء وأكفر الكثرة والعياذ بالله. He's from the worst of the disbelievers. And the disbelievers are different levels. From the worst of them, that man. From the worst of them, that man. He was a caller to filth and a caller to shirk and a caller to every lowly and despicable manner and conduct. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to wear that in the first place is a major sin. And the major sin from another aspect, and that is
الولاء والبراء.
نعم الولاء والبراء والتشبه بالكفار ومحبة الكافر الفاسق. This is filthy. Why would they wear a shirt with that man on there? Or the likes of these people, for example? Because they like him. But he doesn't do anything that Allah likes. And if he's a disbeliever, then does Allah like him? Does Allah like the disbelievers? What's the proof? Inna Allaha la yuhibbul kafirin. Allah, he says it himself in his book. Inna Allaha, with emphasis. Inna Allaha la yuhibbul kafirin. Indeed, Allah, he does not love the disbelievers. Naam.
His ayah in Surah Al-Hijrat.
ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان أولئك هم الراشدون. فضلا من الله ونعمة والله. That's a sign of weakness in faith. That's a sign of weakness in faith. Yeah, that's a sign of weakness in faith. Because the faith, it carries a person to love Allah and to love what Allah loves. So know to pray in the likes of these garments, inshallah, the prayer is correct. But this is a type of sin, and he's sinning in this manner. We should not wear the garments that have images on them of animals and the likes like this, or have those images and the likes for no reason. Sometimes we can't get away from them. For example, if you buy milk, maybe there's a cow there. And if you, yani, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned about this, this is something that is considered min umum al-balwa, ma ammat bihi al-balwa. And this is a trial, and this is a trial that all of mankind is tried with. You can't avoid it. So therefore, the ruling is lightened. The origin is that, for example, any image, you should wipe it out. Any cow image that comes in your possession, you should scratch the face off or black the face off. But if we were to be held accountable to do this, it would be very difficult with all of the items, every cereal box and every cupcake thing and every item, from the toothpaste, every single thing that you purchase, it has a picture of a living being on it. So now it becomes hard. If a person can get rid of that and just keep the thing. Sometimes even if you take the box and throw it away, if you look on each individual item, it's there. Maybe you'll buy a box that has 40 things in it, and then you think you get rid of it by throwing the box away, and then the same image on every 41 of those things. Allah al-Mustan. So that's what they say, Ammat bihi al-balwa. This is something that we're all tried with, so the ruling is lightened. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive. If a person, he can scratch those out, alhamdulillah, but if he didn't do it, inshallah, he's not held accountable, because it's too difficult. But that doesn't mean we should take the issue lightly. Having pictures for no reason, taking pictures for no reason, which is something that people are doing these days without a necessity or without a legitimate purpose, this is something to avoid and stay away from. And Allah knows best. Yes. Whenever Jibril came, there was a dog in the house.
Yeah.
The hadith, there was a small puppy in the house. There's another narration likewise where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry about the images in the house. And he told Aisha to take them down, radiallahu anha. And he mentioned that the in that narration, that the angels do not come in the home where there's a dog or a surah. So Allah knows best. We hope now that ruling the people of knowledge have mentioned, that we will be excused from this balwa that we're tried with in these days. And not from the dog, but hopefully from some of the images, and Allah knows best. But no doubt, greater than that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُصَوِّرِينَ وَأَشَدُ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ. May the curse of Allah be upon those who take pictures, the picture takers. And those who have the most severe punishment on the day of resurrection are the picture takers. So the one who draws a picture with his finger, with his hands, that's called a, he's a picture maker. He's making a picture. And the one who takes a picture with his camera or with his phone, what is he called at that time? He's, what is he doing? He's taking a picture. He's taking a picture. So the people of knowledge, they're different about that. But the hadith is clear. So to avoid that is much safer. To possibly fall under the curse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the one who made the curse of Allah be upon al-musawwirin. So the one who takes a picture with his camera, he's called musawwir, nothing else. In the Arabic language, he's called musawwir. He's called musawwir, don't call him anything else. If he draws it with his hand, he's called musawwir. If he takes it if it's a video, he's called musawwir. One image shot, he's called musawwir. So therefore, what he's doing and that attribute he has at that time fits the narration exactly. So then to rely upon some of the opinions of the scholars to make it permissible, the best thing to do is to stay away from that. As for the scholars using that to make da'wah and the likes like this, then they definitely have excuse, especially since the people of deviation and the people of misguidance, they're using those avenues left and right. So some of the scholars have considered the ruling much lighter, and they have advanced upon that likewise to compete in the avenue of spreading good and the likes and calling to Allah Azza wa Jal by videotaping themselves. So that definitely has its aspect, why it would be an excuse. But that doesn't mean that everyone who calls to Allah will follow that way. So Allah knows best. I personally don't like to take pictures. But if the scholars do that, I would not blame them. Or if somebody else from the students of knowledge did that, I would not blame them. But I would not let somebody take my picture. I prefer that, personally. Alhamdulillah.